It's time, right about that time, BZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. It is October 8th, 2016, or at least this is when you'll be hearing it, recorded on October 7th, 2016. But I am Cody Sandusky. I'm glad to have you alongside for the ride. In this new episode, we're going to have a lot of content to talk about, some of it revisiting some things we talked about last week or some things that we brought up during last week's episode that we didn't have time to get to, we being I. I don't know why I'm acting as if there's multiple people on the podcast today, because this is another solo show this time around. This week's episode is going to include a continued discussion about Tyson Fury. I know we talked about last week his ducking a fight, so to speak, against Vladimir Klitschko, finding out that he had tested positive for cocaine and the ramifications of that. Well, at first, it was saying, you know, he was avoiding the fight because he was injured, or he, you know, his heart wasn't in it, he was having mental health issues. Well, yes, he does, but not quite for the reasons they revealed last week, because that drug test has a reason to be positive. Tyson Fury has admitted he has been doing cocaine. A lot of it. So we'll talk about that revelation, as well as what has happened to him in the last few weeks. Hopefully, we're going to get into more of the sports gambling discussion with the former NBA commissioner David Stern now coming out and saying he is a proponent of sports gambling after years of being an ardent opponent of it. Yes, proponent and opponent, I know, very closely. Nonetheless, he was very against it during his time in the NBA as the commissioner of that league. Now that he's not, maybe he's had a change of heart. And as we said last week, Adam Silver, the current NBA commissioner and the deputy commissioner for many years under David Stern, is a big promoter. And he is very in the affirmative for having sports gambling become certified in all 50 states, or at least allow it to be certified nationally, federally, and then allow the states to make those decisions. So David Stern's change of heart, we'll get into that a little bit. Bo Jackson, his discussion about saying that he would not let his kids play football today, and maybe some other thoughts on his interview from the Monday Morning Quarterback. And then an interesting conversation from the vantage point of a writer talking to Philip Rivers in a letter. Jonathan Jones from the Sports Illustrated, released an article on their website today talking about, in an open letter to Philip Rivers, to ask for a trade and to leave San Diego, not because of what he is doing, but because of what the team is incapable of doing, which is supporting him and helping him get to the playoffs. So we'll explore that, as well as the merits of a player that large and that integral to a team's mission and goal and identity approaching the sport that way, approaching his time on the team that way by asking for an out. I think it's very interesting that that was approached in this manner by Mr. Jones, and I hope to discuss it. So we will get into all of that. First, of course, because it's October 7th, Major League Baseball playoffs are happening. For me, because I'm a Blues fan, of course, we are in Southeast Missouri, or we're recording this in Southeast Missouri, just up the road from Gaming Ground, 709 Broadway, for all your gaming needs. They have special orders, pre-orders, and retro games. If you want a sports game that fits this vibe, you may be able to get a hold of NHL 17, or why not NHL 94, 95, or 96 for the Genesis or Super Nintendo. Plug out of the way. Blues start playing in a few days. Actually, October 12th is when the regular season starts for the St. Louis Blues and for a lot of the NHL, well, some of the NHL at large. It's opening night. The Blues take on Chicago. Toronto takes on Ottawa. Calgary faces Edmonton. And Los Angeles faces San Jose. So some fun rivalry matchups. I'm very excited for it. Baseball playoffs. Football's in full swing. For high school, you're only a couple weeks away from playoffs here in Missouri. Hockey's about to start. The NBA, just a few weeks away. Our Memphis Grizzlies, you can hear on SEMO ESPN 92.9 FM, only a few games away from the regular season starting. I am very excited to be a sports fan this time of year. Of course, I mentioned this last week, and you know, because you've heard it. Oh, by the way, ignore the phone dropping. If you're a Canadian Football League fan, things are going very well on that front. You have teams that are gearing up toward the playoff. They are in week 12. Or, well, I guess week 13, 14 now, excuse me. Math is hard sometimes, kids. Just do better in math like I'm trying to be. We're week 14 in the Canadian Football League, so things have been very fun to pay attention to across the sports spectrum. No matter what you're a fan of, there are things happening, and That's really awesome. Because this time of year, of course, news started today. Actually, we'll jump off from the top with this. Not necessarily something we talk about often, but it happened. Tiger Woods has committed to playing in the Safeway Open next week in California. And Tiger Woods hasn't played since 2015. So he is stepping his way back into the fold in the PGA Tour. It'll be his first event since late 2015. We're going to see how it goes. For Tiger Woods, it's been a large fall from grace, not only from his personal life, although that's a few years in the rear view now, but he's just has not been able to physically stay up to snuff. And part of that is just, again, because of his health. He's been fighting hard. He's had multiple surgeries on his shoulders and on his legs, or his back, I think, more than his legs. But he's been going through a lot of procedures trying to get back into the world of golf, and you haven't quite seen that recently. So we're going to see what happens with Tiger Woods as he moves into competing again. Now, the last I had seen earlier today about Tiger Woods, he was in the 760s in his overall ranking in the world in golf. This is a man that broke records for being number one in the world, and now he has fallen off so far as to be in the 760s. Now, a solid performance on this next tournament, the Safeway Open, may open the door for him to climb those rankings a bit. I don't think the rankings are necessarily the goal for Tiger Woods right now. It's to stay healthy, keep the nose to the grindstone. He's even admitting that I don't think he thinks he's 100%, but he feels like he's capable of competing in a tournament. So he declared to the officials of the Safeway Open he will be back in action next week. Will it bring eyes to the tube or eyes to however you follow golf? We don't know. I would assume as much. Tiger Woods still moves that needle because he was such a prolific athlete and such a face of an entire sport for so long that I can't imagine his return, even in a lackluster or less than himself condition, would not draw eyes. I think people are going to tune into the Safeway Open if there's a way to watch it, and I assume there probably is. I don't have that in front of me right now. I apologize to the golf aficionados out there. I'll try to pull it up. But it's something that I think is very exciting for the sport. Of course, you see some people. Phil Mickelson is already asking, hey, he's hoping to be paired with Tiger Woods because they've had that very interesting back and forth dynamic, the relationship between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, two of the greats during their respective era. So Tiger's back into the fold. It's going to be at the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa, California. So I'm sure he is very excited. You know, a lot of golf fans are very excited. And I'm also going to assume a little bit that the PGA officials are very excited because this means that the golden boy, the face of their sport, is now back into the fold. By the way, Safeway Open, going to let you know how you can stay attuned to that somehow, probably. Let me see if I can pull it up for you. And this is all good content for the radio podcast, I promise you. Oh, it was telling me 2015. That's why I couldn't find it. I'll tell you later. The app is being very indecisive. Oh, Safeway Open, 13th through the 16th. Yes. No TV coverage being shown. So, you'll be able to find it. Just assume that. You'll find a way. Life finds a way, and so does golf. Anyway, Tiger Woods is back. Let's go ahead and move into some of the conversations that I plan on having this week. Yes, this is, you're hearing someone scramble and trying to bring his thoughts together because the brain is functioning like an egg that is currently being cooked and kind of moving the bits around in the pan. My analogies are also going to be off. I promise nothing's wrong. It's just a Friday night, and it's been a very busy week and day of content creation. But I'm very excited to be a part of it. Tyson Fury. We talked about him last week. The reigning heavyweight champion in two federations, winning those belts from Vladimir Klitschko last year in an upset fight by decision. He's been battling back and forth between some health problems, currently being said also mental health problems, and has postponed again his fight against Vladimir Klitschko. It was supposed to happen in July, then it was supposed to happen in a couple Saturdays in October. It was supposed to be October 29th, excuse me, but it's not happening. Now, you've been seeing all this. We don't know what's going on. There have been talks about mental health, and he had an ankle problem, this, that, and the other thing. We found out last week that he was busted by the voluntary anti-doping agency for cocaine with his A sample. We hadn't heard at that time that they're going to test the B sample, although with the news I'm going to give you, this article coming from ESPN.com. I don't think we need to do that. So let's take a look here. Tyson Fury, I don't mean to laugh because this is serious content coming, so forgive me for that. But just the way this goes from ankle injury to mental health to I've been doing lots of cocaine has been very rapid, and I don't think expected by any of us. So here's what's been going on. He hasn't trained in months. He says he's been fighting depression, has suicidal thoughts, and a drinking problem. And in his own words, quote, done lots of cocaine. Lots of it, end quote. Now, this came out from an interview with Rolling Stone magazine. It was posted on the website Tuesday. And at the time of that interview, according to ESPN, he said he'd been sober for 3 days, 72 hours. Not a long streak, but as we mentioned in the last week's episode about recovery, that takes time. And then every step is a new opportunity, a new day in the battle for recovery. It's a perpetual battle. But here's some of the quotes that Tyson Fury came through with this. And this is where it goes from me feeling a bit sympathetic to me thinking, yeah, it's probably time to strip the belts and move on. So here we go. Quote, listen, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've done lots of cocaine. Lots of it. Why shouldn't I take cocaine? It's my life, isn't it? I can do what I want. Yeah, I've done cocaine. Plenty of people have done cocaine as well. What the, expletive, has that got to do with anything? That ain't an important performance-enhancing drug. Am I not allowed to have a life now as well? Do they want to take my personal life off me too? I've not been in a gym for months. I've not been training. I've been going through depression. I just don't want to live anymore, if you know what I'm saying. I've had total enough of it. They forced me to the breaking edge. Never mind cocaine. I just didn't care. I don't want to live anymore. So cocaine is a little minor thing compared to not wanting to live anymore. And he was asked later on if they scrapped the July date because of the problems as opposed to the formerly announced ankle injury. He said he did. And quote, to be honest, yes. I've not been in the gym for months. I've been AWOL. I've been out drinking, anything that gets my mind off of what's been going on to me. End quote. And it just continues to go on. He talks about he's suffering from a version of bipolar that they assume medical personnel, because he doesn't give credentials for anybody, he doesn't claim anybody, it's just a pronoun. I'm a manic depressive. I just hope, and this is the troubling line, and again, this swerves back and forth so much. Here's, I'll just read the whole stanza, but the last line is what really is troubling and kind of just shows maybe a little bit of what's going on for Tyson Fury. Quote, I'm going through a lot of personal demons, trying to shake them off. This has got nothing to do with my fighting. What I'm going through right now is my personal life. They say I've got a version of bipolar. I'm a manic depressive. I just hope someone kills me before I kill myself. End quote. And that's where it is. He goes on, says he's been out drinking Monday to Friday to Sunday and taking cocaine. The only thing that helps him is when he's drunk, it gets him out of his mind. He says he doesn't want to live. All the money in the world, fame and glory means nothing if I'm not happy, and I ain't happy. I'm very far from it. But it's very, again, it rubber bands back and forth. Like, as we talked about last week, mental health takes on many forms. Addiction is a form of a mental health problem where you receive help. You go to a facility or you talk to counselors. There's medical-assisted treatments that happen. There are different avenues by which to approach this, but it is a mental health issue, drug addiction. But he goes on in these different things back and forth. He's blamed many of the people or many of the problems he has on a quote-unquote witch hunt since he won the title. He blames people being mad because he's a traveler, which is a variant, if you're unfamiliar with traveler, it's a variant of the gypsy lifestyle, nomadic people moving around. And of course, in the gypsy culture and the traveler culture in Ireland and through the UK and Europe as a whole, to be honest with you, a lot of that, the sport, comes from bare-knuckle boxing, which is where some of the great boxers have come from, or at least taken some inspiration. And it just goes on. It's sad to read this interview, and or at least the snippets I've read from ESPN.com, because I full disclosure, I have not dove into the entirety of the Rolling Stone interview, because partially because I've been working on a few other projects, and also because I don't know if I care to read it. It's been, the pieces I've seen have been very tough to read because it's just, it's both frustrating because you want to see him figure it out. You want to see something change. You want to see him get back on the horse, to recover, to move forward. And some of the things that he suffers from are both combination of mental health issues and side effects of doing lots of drinking and lots of cocaine. But there are other parts where he either comes across as very petty or very paranoid that makes you, it draws away some of the sympathy. And I'm not saying he's doing this for sympathy. I would never accuse anyone of that. He's someone who is suffering from multiple problems and he needs help and hopefully continues to reach out and receive that help. But even knowing that, it's sometimes difficult to marry the thought of, yeah, this person needs help. They are troubled. Something's going on. And to marry that thought to what he's saying in terms of the boxing commission in Britain being out for him and a witch hunt for him because he's a traveler and this, that, and the other thing, while there may very well be, and people have acknowledged that there's discrimination toward travelers to an extent, I'm not aware of it. Of course, I'm not from Europe. I don't live in that culture. I'm not currently aware and haven't done enough research to vet whether or not that is a true claim that people are biased against travelers and that's what could be causing the problems he's experiencing. But I can't claim that the witch hunt against travelers is what's brought this problem upon him. It's been him. It's been his doing cocaine. It's been his drinking heavily and not training and becoming, per his quote, fat as a pig. It's, like I said, it's a very troubling thing for what's going on. Now, mind you, Fury's been stripped from his IBF title after it became known he had signed a separate agreement with Klitschko for a rematch, meaning he couldn't face the IBF mandatory challenger. Right now, Fury holds the WBA and the WBO titles. We don't know what's come of those yet. There's been no formal announcement saying that he has been stripped of his belts or that something has changed. Currently, he still is in possession of them. It looks like he could be in possession of them for a little while longer. Now, as we go through, we haven't seen, we don't know what's going to happen. His uncle, Peter Fury, has been talking about trying to find a way to help his nephew because he's battling through these problems, to remove the friends from his life that are giving him these problems. The positive test was confirmed for cocaine, so his family is calling for support for him, which is a couple articles from The Guardian, including one that is simply titled, Tyson Fury is facing his toughest opponent and needs our compassion. So that's a different way of doing, you know, of approaching this. Sometimes some people, that's just not how that happens. Some people are very compassionate about these problems. Some people are not. And that's the weird thing with sport, is that we don't quite know how to work with these topics, because on the one side, Vladimir Klitschko came out and said that Fury was dragging the sport through the mud because of his actions, his avoidance, and because of his, you know, taking cocaine. And there's much truth to that, yes. But it's also, if these things are genuine and not all of them brought on by the cocaine and the alcohol abuse, then these are things Tyson Fury needs to seek help for and receive help for, and I hope he does. But I can't divorce the thought. I can't separate the two and say that Vladimir Klitschko is wrong because he makes a valid point. Not that Tyson Fury is the man because he's battling mental health issues and depression and suicidal thoughts, is dragging the sport through the mud. But because of his lack of desire to step forward and say, hey, I'm struggling. I don't want to do this right now. Please take these belts off of me and let them be fought for by Klitschko and someone else. Yeah. I get it. I'm sure you're hearing this right now. You're planning to tweet me, planning to message me, however you will. Hey, athletes don't do that very often. I understand. Most athletes don't say or willingly concede the thing they trained hours a day for months and years to obtain, saying, hey, I can't do this right now. I'm good. You take this. But this is such a rare and unique situation that I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to shame or blame Tyson Fury for his issues, because that's not what I'm here to do. I don't have a right to do that, and he doesn't deserve that. As The Guardian said, he does deserve compassion as he battles these things. But it does take some amount of self-awareness and self-responsibility, to say, I am not in a place where I can rightfully or respectfully honor the commitments of these titles or follow through with the rematches and the fights required of me as the champion and holder of these titles. They need to be removed from him. It's shameful. I get not shameful in the sense of he should be ashamed for having suicidal thoughts or battling mental health issues. No, it's a shame that it's come to this point, that these belts are being held hostage by an anti-doping agency and a fighter and his trainers and the system and the webs that are weaved within boxing. And we talk about, and a lot of people talk about, hit boxing dying. And we talked about a little bit on here, the multiple weight classes and how do you follow each fight and it doesn't get a lot of promotion. Yes, there are problems there. It's a shame that some of that red tape plagues this situation. But right now, and I think those the promoters and the runners of the WBO and the WBF are very painfully aware at this point that Tyson Fury's in no condition to be a champion. He's got bigger things to take care of. Remove the belts. Let Klitschko fight Joshua for the titles. And let's see what happens. And I hope, very much so, that Tyson Fury gets the help he needs, that he receives the support that is necessary to begin the road to recovery, whether it be inpatient rehab or however he approaches that. I would assume inpatient rehab or some form of that would take place to kick him or kickstart his progress. But we wish the best for Tyson Fury. I hope that he does find that system and is willing to accept that system because, as with anyone recovering, you can't force someone to take that. They have to take that first step themselves. They have to accept that responsibility, say, there's a problem. I need to change. I want to change. And I hope that Tyson Fury has come to that conclusion, and I hope that he receives the support and encouragement he needs to tackle what will be a tough road ahead, probably tougher than anyone he's ever faced on the other side of a boxing ring. Well, it's a heavy topic to cover here on PZ85 Sports and your Podzilla 1985 network, but it's something that I felt we needed to address, if in no other reason than because we covered Tyson Fury himself last week and what had happened leading up to the cocaine drug test. But I felt like it was necessary for us to continue that conversation, at least follow up and see where he is. And as it develops, I think we're going to continue to take a look at it. You know, maybe not as in-depth as we have, maybe kind of like what we did at the beginning of this episode with Tiger Woods, just a blurb saying, hey, here's what's happened, so let's do this. Or let's just talk about this briefly, but having where I've been worked around and places I've been in the last few years, it's a little bit of a different change for me. It's become a little bit, maybe more of an understanding of how that works, working through the rehabilitation process. So always it's interesting now and always heartbreaking to see someone go through those things, self-inflicted or otherwise, it's still tough to see. So again, well wishes to Tyson Fury as we move along on this episode of PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky. Wow, we're already 22 minutes through. I normally like to keep these about 45 minutes just to keep it fairly concise and so you don't have to hear me drone on, or at least I hope I don't drone on. But I'm very thankful that you're still here listening to the podcast and hopefully enjoying this round of sports content. So, just to update you as we go on to the David Stern situation, as you're listening to this on Saturday morning, Boston is down 2-0 to Cleveland in the ALDS. Toronto's up on Texas 2-0 in the ALDS. The Dodgers took game one against the Nationals. It's now 1-0 Dodgers. And then we have one more game that's going to be going on, and that is the Giants and Mets. So it's a fun Friday night going into Saturday, Giants and Cubs. I said Giants and Mets because that was the wild card game a couple nights ago. But it's an exciting time, as we talk about here in sports. And because there's some things that are going to be starting very soon, it's including the NBA season. And part of that history, that reputation of the NBA, has been with David Stern, the image bearer of sorts and the former commissioner of the NBA. We mentioned it last week. We're going to get into it a little bit more this week. Again, this article comes from ESPN.com where I'm reading this and kind of basing this upon. But David Stern is hoping to see legalized betting expand in the United States. Now, this is a man coming from an organization in the NBA that had a gambling scandal a few years ago involving an official, Tim Donaghy. And it was something that, you know, rocked that sport for a little while and rocked the thought process of, are these games fixed? What are officials doing? How does it go? It was in 2007, Tim Donaghy was found to have supplied information to gamblers while he was also betting on games that he officiated. That the NBA studied that, but wasn't completely sure what effect he would have had, but it was enough to where it was obviously a bad thing, and Donaghy was trying to cover gambling debts and things of the like. So, David Stern at that point in 2007, at times previous, and for some time after that, was a very ardent opponent to gambling in the U.S., sports gambling being legalized in more places than it already is, which is in Las Vegas and then in Delaware, I believe. But David Stern has now moved away from that platform and has moved forward a platform of, I want to see legalized sports gambling spread in the United States. And it's a very interesting turn. Now, some of his words to the crowd at the American Gaming Association's Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago said that the notion that gambling will lead to bad things is quote unquote outdated. His thoughts are, and here's a quote, quote, let's not talk about the evils of gambling when it comes to sports. The industry has come to accept that a properly run gaming association will be protective of sports, end quote. So it's a drastic change of pace. I can't believe it. And some of the numbers that you'll see here, let's go through some of these numbers. The American Gaming Association estimates $90 billion will be bet on football this season, almost all of it illegally. In comparison, only $1.69 billion, yes, still with a B, still a lot of zeros, was bet on football in 2015 at Nevada's regulated sports books. So, not even 10% of gambling that goes on sports, or football specifically. And I know this is the commissioner of basketball, or former commissioner of the National Basketball Association, but it still carries over because it's, you know, sports. Less than 10% of the gambled money, which, by the way, $90 billion. I can't fathom $1.69 billion, but $90 billion is just an astronomical amount of money to be gambled on sports, specifically one sport. But on the other hand, as popular as that concept is, and if you include gambling like office pools, fantasy football brackets, things, or, you know, fantasy football leagues, however that goes, if that's incorporated, it makes a little more sense, but still seems to be a wild amount of money. And here's some of the thoughts that David Stern shared about his platform, what he's thinking. Quote, you wind up with a proposition that says there is this legal gambling, but there's also an enormous amount that is wagered. That amount is not regulated, not taxed, and the profits go to unsavory causes, and that's a good thing to take a look at. If a sport says, I don't want to have my games bet on, then they should have the opportunity to opt out. If a state says, I don't want to have betting for any number of reasons, they don't have to have betting. And I think that it makes a really good situation. It's sort of a coalition of the wanted and the wanting, end quote. And I think that, you know, not putting politics into this, because as we know multiple times across the Podzilla 1985 networks, we don't like to incorporate politics in everything. We shy away from it sometimes, but, and sometimes we hit it full force. I'm not going to incorporate a thought in terms of what I believe like the answer to be, because I don't think there is just one concise answer. But I do think it's very interesting that it's being explored. And I would like to see something along the lines of this being approached by the federal government. Again, not going to get into big government, small government regulations, not whatever. That's not the point. The point is having that opportunity to say, hey, it's at least in some form legal for all 50 states upon your decision. Do you want it? Cool. We'll help regulate it. Do you not want it? All right, don't worry about it. You don't have to have it. I think that door being open is a very interesting one, and it's very, very weird because there are already people without sports gambling being a prevalent thing. Now, mind you, as it's said in here, $90 billion being gambled yearly, almost all of it illegally on football. People are very wary about what we are seeing in sports on the professional level and even the college level and the high competition levels, about whether or not it's fixed. You know, I'll see on, you know, my Facebook page or on Twitter occasionally people alleging that specific sporting events were fixed, or that a team didn't score because they had to hit the line, or that here's this evidence that player XYZ didn't help player ABC to hit this specific score. I don't, if it's naivete, then, you know, I will accept full responsibility for that. I don't believe that current professional sports on the whole are being fixed or altered or tampered with to make gambling lines meet. Does it happen occasionally? I'm sure it does. There have been multiple things throughout the history of organized sport to show that fixing is a thing. Whether it is for money or for whatever reason may be, primarily money, it's happened. It could be happening on small scales. I don't think it's an overarching, hey, this is what's happening, everything's fixed. Nothing you're seeing is legitimate. I disagree with that thought wholeheartedly. So for me, seeing this being approached or seeing this being discussed and becoming less of a taboo conversation and more of a how do we allow this to happen in a legal sense is a great step. Because what is currently in effect in the United States, again, if you're listening to other countries, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, our sports gambling is limited by certain laws, including the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, or the PASPA. If you're a FAFSA, you know, you fill out student loans, gotta take the acronym, which replaces the F's for P's. But it's a federal prohibition on state-sponsored sports betting, which was pushed heavily by sports leagues, including the NBA. It stopped the spread of state-sponsored gambling, limiting it primarily to Nevada and to a lesser extent in Delaware. But as the article from ESPN.com alleges, quote, Americans are having little trouble finding ways to bet on sports in the U.S., end quote. And it goes into that $90 billion figure that I presented a moment ago. So is it the fully correct answer? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But to prevent the conversation from happening, I think is another negative thing. You know, you're canceling a wrong with another wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. Three rights make a left. You know, whatever. I think it's something that needs to be discussed. And I'm glad that someone, especially someone who is so negative on the thought as David Stern, is trying to approach this in a very intelligent manner. Now, David Stern was a lawyer, I guess, maybe still a lawyer. I don't know how much he practices or how much he practiced in the NBA, but that's his background. So he's someone who is intimately aware of the generalities of the legal system, at least, if not maybe well researched into the specifics of this case. And he brings up some of the barriers that maybe have fallen because of current times and current programs, like the daily sports, daily fantasy sports gambling, your FanDuels, your DraftKings. Those are already occurring, so I think it's his goal to allow some other things to happen. And it's interesting the way he approaches it. And you go toward the end of this article, and he talks about having the different leagues join together to soften up on their maybe going their defensive stance towards sports gambling and maybe encouraging it. Now, Stern says he doesn't expect all of them will support it off the cuff, and maybe not, you know, they won't at all on specific leagues or specific sports. I think he thinks something is changing. Here's the end quotes. I think leave it on a positive note, maybe say this could happen. Quote, one or two leagues would be fine. The others could sit back and watch the results. That's not upsetting to me. The coming together is really more about getting law enforcement, technology companies, and casino companies together with the sports leagues. That's a tough task. And then when it's thought about, will sports gambling be legalized? How long will it take? He hypothesizes a decade. Here's what it is. Quote, my heart says it should be 1 to 3 years. My head says it's between 5 and 10, end quote. Again, it's very interesting to me to see someone who is so adamant in his negative thought of sports betting. This was, you know, the demon. It was the Antichrist. It was everything that was wrong with sports. Legalizing sports betting. Don't let it happen. And now that he's out of his authoritative position, maybe a little more of an outsider's perspective, he's able to see, hey, you know, maybe that isn't such a bad thing. Maybe this is something we can allow to happen, and the sport's not going to be sullied or ruined, or, you know, the mystique of sports isn't going to be shrouded by this evil cloud. Some people may think that's the case, and some sports organizations may. And that's not a bad thing. That's an opinion carried by those who help run the sports. For these sports. But that we're starting to have the dialogue, I think, is very important. I think is crucial. And I'm not, you know, telling you anything you don't know. Having dialogue is crucial to getting anything accomplished, yes, but having at least someone who was very closely associated with the leadership and was the former leader, the number one in a North American Big Four sport, this being the National Basketball Association. The fact that someone is being willing to step forward and say, hey, we need to take a look at this. And someone who is so, you know, vocal about his opposition now saying that he is willing to discuss it and thinks it's something that should be done, may change some minds. And that's very interesting to me, and I'm very happy to see that David Stern is wanting to explore this in the future. And I agree with his pessimistic viewpoint. I don't know if it's going to happen in the next few years. I think there are too many hurdles to jump, too many lawmakers that would have to be convinced trying to set up between law enforcement, the casino companies. I was going to say the gambling companies. That's kind of a taboo term. But nonetheless, that collaboration between all three bodies, large bodies, very independent bodies that would need to take place to put something together for legalizing sports gambling across the United States, is something that I don't think happens overnight, nor do I think it happens in a year or two, especially right now in a very tumultuous league or a very tumultuous political environment. I don't think this is going to be a top priority for those that are even in charge of this, that may not even be involved in the presidential elections or in the state Senate seats or however that goes. I think there's a lot of other things going on that would prevent this from being anywhere close to a priority. But I think it's something that you can broach with those in leadership in those different organizations, the casino companies, the law enforcement, the government. And these things can start taking place and hopefully changing. So that was very interesting to look at for me. And it's going to be fun to look at as we move along here on PZ85 Sports. I really want to get into this Bo Jackson conversation. I really do. There are a lot of interesting points. But I think, again, we might have to postpone it for a week. Or maybe it's struggling because I love Bo Jackson. And, you know, if you're like me, you've played a lot of Tecmo Super Bowl. And a lot of, if you're also in my age group, being 25 as I am, you didn't see Bo Jackson do what he did, which was a two-sport athlete who was stellar at least certain points in both of those sports. The L.A. Raiders ran like a maniac. Of course, highlight tapes abound of what he was able to do in Major League Baseball. Maybe an okay hitter, 250 with some strikeouts, but had power. He had a home run in an all-star game. But the dude could field. And it was unorthodox the way he did it because, and there was footage on Reddit via other sources, obviously, but the guy approached outfielding in a different way. It was one specifically where, in most cases, how you're taught to field a fly ball is you backpedal until you're about a step or two behind where the ball's going to go. And you step up a step or two forward, kind of in a forward momentum, as you catch the ball so that you have that momentum to release the ball at its most powerful point and throw a runner out at whatever base. One play, specifically for the Royals, he didn't do that. He backpedaled into a fly ball, rifled it, and threw a man out at third base from right field. And that ball was on a line. That ball went into the basket of that glove almost directly, parallel to the ground, never losing angle. I'm being a little hyperbolic, I get it, but impeccable. And I hopefully can find that link again, because I think it's a GIF, graphical interface, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We'll argue about the pronunciation all day. It is a moving image on the internet that clearly shows the kind of raw power and skill that Bo Jackson had. And so his viewpoints on some things are very interesting. Now, do I think it works for a podcast? It's maybe not that interesting, but I just keep coming back to it. I think it's kind of fun. Plus, I didn't get to watch the Bo Jackson 30 for 30. It's been a very hectic week, and I do apologize for a lack of preparation on my part. I will take that on myself. But it's something fun. See, here's your homework as well as mine again. And I don't care if you watched it already. Watch it again. Or find Tecmo Super Bowl. Find a copy of it on the NES. Play it. Be Bo Jackson. See how easy it is to run on people. Before we go, because we're already at 40 minutes, and I fully disclose, I do Friday Night Football coverage here on SEMO ESPN and our River Radio Sports Network, and a lot of these games are starting to turn into blowouts, so my responsibilities may be coming very shortly, so I'm trying to be very prudent and aware of that. But nonetheless, I feel like we need to talk about this last thing specifically, because it's very interesting, and it's a letter to Philip Rivers from Jonathan Jones, I guess from the perspective of a fan, pleading that he leave the Chargers or find a way to move away from the Chargers. And it's a pretty short article. I'm going to read it outright. So welcome to Sports Reading Theater on PZ85 Sports. Cody Sandusky will be taking on the role of Jonathan Jones, the author of this article, asking Philip Rivers to leave the San Diego Chargers for greener pastures due to the team's inability to lead him into the postseason. Here we go. All this is a quote, obviously. Quote, Philip, can you hear me? I know you're out there somewhere. I need you to listen, Philip Rivers. You may not know it because you love San Diego so much. You may not understand it because of your deep loyalty to the Chargers and their fans. But it's time, Philip. It's time for you to leave. You're not getting any younger, and your team isn't getting any better. As bad as last season's 4-12 record was, 2016 may be even worse. Your promising wideout is done for the season, Keenan Allen. Your electrifying, gritty running back is gone for the year, too, Danny Woodhead. Two of the defense's best players, linebacker Manti Te'o and cornerback Jason Verrett, suffered season-ending injuries recently. This year is lost, and I'm tired of seeing you lose seasons. The Chargers have the Raiders, Broncos, Falcons, and Broncos coming up in the next four games. Coach Mike McCoy is 3-12 in games decided by 8 or fewer points, and he's 5-16 in the past 21 games. It's not going to get any better. You've given so much to this franchise, including your ACL in the 2007 AFC Championship game. The 42,557 passing yards are the fifth most among active quarterbacks, and the four in front of you are guaranteed to go into the Hall of Fame. And of the 13 players in front of you on the all-time list, 11 are either in the Hall or will eventually find their way there. But my concern here is for you. I'm not convinced you're going to make it to Canton if you don't get out of your current situation. The statistics are there, but your final years where you can really state your case are washing away into the Pacific. At the end of the season, you'll be 35 years old with another 4,000-yard season under your belt. It'll be the eighth time in 9 years you've surpassed the mark, and you'll have done it with spare parts. But I can tell you right now, there will be no playoffs for you. You've been in the postseason once since 2010, and I don't see it happening for your squad any time in the near future. Your loyalty to this franchise is unquestioned. You signed a four-year extension last year with the specter of a team moving to Los Angeles staring the Chargers in the face. You believed in this team and stuck around, and you're being repaid with heartbreaking loss after heartbreaking loss. You tried to laugh to keep from crying, you said after your team fumbled away another fourth-quarter lead. You deserve better, Philip. It's time to get rid of the no-trade clause in your contract and ask, nay, demand, General Manager Tom Telesco to send you to a team that will be competitive. If the opportunity arises during the season, you should pull the trigger. If not, do it no later than next spring. I can't imagine what it would be like to move your family of 10, I didn't know Philip Rivers had 10 kids, holy shnikes, from San Diego to a new city, but your professional career needs it. Look at how well it's worked out for Carson Palmer in Arizona. Teams like the Jets, Dolphins, Bears, 49ers, and Washington could all use you starting this season or the next. Your Chargers will demand a first-round pick for you, and then they'll have two chances at their next franchise quarterback to reboot the team, with a new coach, too. They'll manage without you. And there's plenty of tread left on your tires. Quarterbacks are playing forever nowadays. You have at least another 3 years in you after your season, and probably more. You're a legend in San Diego and always will be. You'll handle the departure as well as anyone, and you'll be greeted like the home team starter when you return to the stadium in different colors. I hope this reaches you in time, Philip. I wanted to read it in context. I feel like it's a conversation that needs to be read in whole because it's an interesting letter. And I don't think that the interesting portion of it, the intrigue with it, is conveyed unless you hear the whole thing. But to plead for a player to leave his organization, the team that drafted him, the team that traded Eli Manning to take him, the swap, yeah, you know, the Eli Manning, Philip Rivers trade, you get it, whatever. The team that traded for him chose him over Drew Brees, mind you, who had shoulder surgery, so it was a little easier, quote-unquote, to make that pick. Philip Rivers has given his career to this team. He's been a one-team man this entire time. He was drafted by the Giants, but he never played for him, never suited up, whatever. He has been a Charger his entire career. Has dedicated his heart, his life to it. A family of 10. Wow. A family of 10 in San Diego. The guy has fought for this organization. And it's a different situation, albeit maybe not an age, but a different situation to what it was for LaDainian Tomlinson when he left. Now, when he left, it wasn't quite the same way. He wasn't pursuing rings, although he went to the Jets and tried. It just didn't pan out very well for him. Philip Rivers is still on a Philip Rivers level. And as it said, Keenan Allen is gone for the season. Danny Woodhead's gone for the season. Melvin Gordon's got touchdowns pretty well so far, but the guy's running for less than 3 yards a carry. Your three leading receivers are Travis Benjamin, a cast-off from Cleveland of all places, albeit I like Travis Benjamin, Dontrell Inman, and Tyrell Williams. If you're unfamiliar with two of those three names, you're not the only one. So it's an interesting viewpoint or someone to ask. I don't know if Jonathan Jones is from San Diego. I'm not aware of his background. But for a reporter to come out and say, hey, ask for a move. You deserve this. is very interesting in the world of sports because it's always preached, or it has been preached for many years before, I guess the current decade, maybe the decade before, that you stick with the team that drafted you. Of course, in the 70s and 80s and before that, you didn't have a choice. That was the organization that drafted you. That's the organization you stuck with because that's who held your rights. Free agency wasn't really a thing until the 90s for most organizations, at the 80s for some, but primarily the 90s. But if we're having that much tenacity to ask, hey, you deserve to move, go do this, in the light of still that dedication to coach and team and fans and all that, is a very interesting one to take, even in what could very well be a facetious article. I get that. This may not be wholly serious, but I think there's enough there to convince me that it is. That Jonathan Jones wants to see Phillip Rivers go to the Hall of Fame. And he makes a point. You look at raw numbers, he's the guy that could do it. By itself, currently, yes. I would say his numbers, the metrics prove him to be one of the better quarterbacks, probably a borderline guy right now, maybe a little below borderline. But if he continues to toil away for the Chargers, who have no hope, whose ownership doesn't seem to care to be in San Diego or spend money to have anything change because they're not nice people, it seems like, why stick around? It's a very interesting thing. I've been saying that a few times now. I'm sorry. It's fun to read in a weird way because, again, this team doesn't have a quarterback to take the mantle. This isn't a situation where, and, you know, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, you're not breeding a guy in the background to be ready to take over or grooming a guy to be ready to assume that position next season. Phillip Rivers re-signed for 4 years because he is the quarterback of this team, and there isn't anybody else behind him. Oh, and the quarterback crop coming up next year doesn't quite have a Carson Wentz or a Jared Goff that I'm aware of, and one of those isn't a positive compliment either, given he's not touched the field really yet. So, will it happen? I don't think so. But my goodness, would I try to make it happen on Madden if I owned Madden 17. Because Phillip Rivers, he's a competitive guy. He's not the Drew Brees type where he kind of keeps to himself, is quiet, but a very respectful figure. And there was a recent little thing on NFL Now or on the NFL Network about that fateful game in 2005 that allowed or kind of happened where Drew Brees injured his shoulder, had to have shoulder surgery, and kind of directed him to the Saints because they were interested in wanting to sign him despite that shoulder surgery. And the Chargers, who stuck with Phillip Rivers because he was the younger guy, he hadn't had an injury history, and he knew the team. And, you know, this may be the same kind of crossroads for Phillip Rivers. And, you know, I like the guy well enough. As I said, he's a very tenacious guy, very passionate on the field, off the field, very vocal leader. It would be nice to see him succeed somewhere. But it's a burden to carry if you're the guy that's traded out of an organization you've been with your entire career. Or it's a burden to carry to come across and say, hey, I want out. Some people don't like that. But Chargers fans may be willing to understand that the guy doesn't have a lot of time left, even if the health is very favorable to him. Why not see what he can do somewhere else? That's about it for this episode of PZ85 Sports, though, on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky. Thank you for tuning in. As we ramp up, remember, there are multiple plugs I got to do, so please stick around. First of all, Cody Sandusky. You can find me on Twitter at Cody Sandusky. You can find me on Facebook at Cody Sandusky Sports, CodySandusky. My show here on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM and 1220 AM. The home stretch starts October 17th. We are less than a week and a half away. I am very excited. If you can't tell by the uplifting of my voice, I am so stoked to have a one-hour daily afternoon show. And I hope you join me for listening. You can follow it at Home Stretch Talk, all one word, Home Stretch Talk. You can also find it on Facebook through my sports page. You can find it on the Cody Sandusky Twitter handle. I'll be tweeting on Home Stretch Talk as well as we prepare for it. You can listen to it on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM or 1220 AM from 5 to 6 p.m. if you're in Southeast Missouri, starting October 17th, or the CMO ESPN radio app on the Google Play Store, the iTunes App Store, or CMOESPN.com will have both online streams. Now to the Podzilla plugs. Podzilla1985.com. On that page, you can find the cast and crew tab. Look at all of our Twitter accounts. We have most of them linked on the bottom. See the motley crew that runs the PZ85 ship. It's a lot of fun. See the backlog of podcasts. It's been a great week. Villains Month, sponsored by Villainous Grounds. By the way, thank you to Villainous Grounds. We love all that you do, and it's not just everyone else. I likewise love your coffee, especially your Nitro Brew. Gosh, I love some cold brew coffee and some great comics and great help from the staff up there. Villains Month has started. Talked about comic villains this past week. Pro Wrestling Unscripted talked about the potential ramifications of Bound for Glory for TNA, as well as the WWE pay-per-view coming up this weekend, No Mercy, for the SmackDown brand. We had Terrifying Tanner Thursday, and what became a very interesting conversation about ghosts versus aliens, and kind of comparing the different avenues of horror and, you know, the entities involved and whether or not they affect you in real life. And it was a very interesting conversation, so definitely check it out. Nerd Up will be coming up tomorrow. Sure, Jesse will have all the news getting ready for another week in comics and movies and in video games. Always on top of things, Jesse and the crew. You can go to patreon.com, search Podzilla 1985. You can back us. We always appreciate anyone who contributes anything to the show, allowing us to bring you this great content almost every day of the week. I know we love it. It's a passion project for all of us, myself included. While I enjoy the practice behind the microphone to kind of prepare myself for this career that I'm continuing to pursue, it's also a great time to just share different stories that are maybe not covered as often in the national narrative. It's fun to bring that content to you, and I appreciate every single one of you that listens. Any contribution helps. We appreciate that. Redbubble.com, search Podzilla 1985. Lindsay does some great artwork. You can find all of that there. You can buy the memorabilia. The PZ85 Sports baseball tee is one I highly recommend. Of course, the PZ85 Sports icon or the image is encouraged or kind of inspired by the Major League Baseball logo, and it's a great one. I really enjoy it, so definitely check that out. And I think that's about all the plugs we have. Oh, Press Start to Join's Extra Life is coming up. Go to Extra Life, search Press Start to Join. You should be able to find that and donate to that cause. Always a great cause, a great charity and opportunity. The PS2J crew will be running some games. The Arkham City on the hardest difficulty, one of the runs in Dark Souls, and why for the life of me the word is escaping me right now. It's a difficult way to do it. Forgive me, guys, but it's going to be great. Definitely go to extralife.org, search those guys, and back that cause going to children's hospitals. A great charity and a great opportunity to help out. And plus, much love to the Press Start to Join guys. I think that's all for my plugs. So until next time, next Saturday, fingers crossed, as long as everything goes well in the sports world, I am Cody Sandusky, and this has been PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Enjoy the fall weather if you're in our area. Be safe if you're in the south from Hurricane Matthew, and we'll talk to you guys next week.